This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan MacLeod, and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm on a call now with Osei Ofosu, research engineer at the CSIR's Materials Science and Manufacturing Division, to talk about a new bioplastic innovation that the council has come up with. Osei, thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today. Before we chat about the innovation itself, tell me a bit about yourself. What is your background? How long have you been at the CSIR? And maybe tell us a bit about the interesting research that you've been involved with.
My name is Osei Ofosu, and I hold a Bachelor of Science degree in chemistry with thesis from University of Ghana, a Bachelor of Science degree, honors degree in material science also from University of Cape Town, and a Master's degree in materials engineering from UCT. I worked as a research engineer with the CSIR Polymers and Composites Competency Area in the Material Science and Manufacturing Business Unit. And some of the work I do involve working along with the researchers to design and develop new materials for engineering and industrial applications. Currently, I've also registered for PhD at Nelson Mandela University, working on the topic bio-based, biodegradable plastic materials for industrial applications under the supervision of Professor Rajesh Ananjwala and Dr. Sudhakar Munyasamy, who is a senior researcher at CSIR.
All right. So
I've been with CSIR for the past 8 years, and I've been based in the CSIR regional office in Port Elizabeth.
All right. So you grew up in Ghana, did you? I spent some time there a few years ago, in Accra to be specific. It's a beautiful country. What brought you down to South Africa specifically to study?
Not necessarily. I've been in South Africa from 1992. And initially, when I came to South Africa, I was teaching physical science at high schools.
Okay.
Until I stopped teaching to go and study for another honors degree and a master's degree from UCT.
Okay, so how did you come to the CSIR, and what are some of the projects that you've been involved with in those 8 years?
Yeah, when I was busy with my master's degree at UCT, some of my lab work I happened to do it at CSIR, the Pretoria office, and that is what drew my interest in the work that they do at CSIR. And when I finished with the master's degree, I submitted an application, and then I was considered to come into CSIR based at the Port Elizabeth office. Now, some of the materials we're working on over here at the Port Elizabeth office, we work on mainly biocomposites, biopolymers, and non-woven materials. So we've worked on a series of other materials that some of which have got to a point that has to be industrialized or commercialized. Now, the most popular one is the biodegradable one that we are busy currently working on trying to get it to commercialize.
All right. Okay, well, we'll talk about that in some detail in a moment. But the CSIR, I think everyone's heard the name. It's a government agency that specializes in science research and development. But what exactly is the CSIR's mandate? What does it do, and what are some of the things it's best known for?
The CSIR, as you have said, is a government entity, and it was established in October 1945. As a statutory council that reports to national government through the Department of Science and Technology. And the mandate of CSIR, as stipulated in the Scientific Research Council Act, Act 46 of 1988, as amended from time to time, Section 3 says that the objects of the CSIR are to, through directed and particularly multidisciplinary research and technological innovation, to foster in the national interest and in fields which, in its opinion, should receive preference, industrial and scientific development, either by itself or in cooperation with principals from the private and public sectors, and thereby to contribute to the improvement of the quality of life of the people of the Republic, and to perform any other functions that may be assigned to the CSIR by or under the Act. Now, it has got some values that I usually term it as the pride of CSIR, because it talks about the people, the reputation, the ingenuity, the diversity, and then energy.
All right. So what are some of the innovations that the CSIR is best known for? I mean, it's been around for many, many decades. 1945 is a long time. What are some of the things it's known for? What has it developed in that period that's perhaps caught the attention of the world?
There are a lot that we can talk about, but what comes to mind is, for instance, where I am now. The unit developed a breathable fabric that was commercialized or licensed to a private company. Yep. And now it is being used all over the world, especially for the camouflage uniforms of the military, where they put the breathable material in the fabric, and once it's used to design the clothing for the military personnel, whether it is in rain or sunshine, you sweat, it dries out without wetting the material itself. Another one we can talk about was, some time ago, the Material Science and Manufacturing Unit developed something we call PUDU, which was used to help in these ATM bombings and others. And then there are a whole lot of others that we can talk about. Now, recently we have developed something that is yet to go into the market. We call it the AmbiFlow, which is used to monitor pregnancy of pregnant women, especially in the rural areas. Rural areas that the women don't usually get the chance to go to hospitals for their babies to get scanned and then monitored and all those things. So there are a lot that the CSIR have done. Mm-hmm. The only thing is that a lot of people don't usually hear about these things, because by the time it gets to commercial level, then the name of CSIR drops off.
I see. Okay. Is it the CSIR's intention with all of the research that it does to eventually commercialize it?
Yeah, that is the intention, and that is the mandate. The research that we do should help to improve the lives of the people of the Republic.
Okay. So let's talk a bit about the innovation that you've been involved in, and it's recently won an award, I think called the Ecologic Award, from an organization called Enviropedia, and it's to do with bioplastics. But let's start with the basics here. What exactly is bioplastic, and what exactly is the research that the CSIR has been doing with it?
It's a form of a plastic that we derive it from biological sources, like plant-based or animal-based plant-based or animal-based. Currently, the one we're working on is derived from plant-based.
Plant-based, okay. So what sort of plants are we talking about?
Now, we're talking about, you see, South Africa as a country have got a lot of agro-biomass. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about agro residues like maize stalks, sugarcane bagasse, and a whole lot of other plants that farmers don't make use of. After harvest of the maize, the farmers either use it for the animals or burn it out. The maize stalks as for one,
yes.
And or the sugarcane bagasse.
Yes.
So we're trying to extract high value chemicals from these agro bioproducts.
I see.
For commercial application, and thereby probably increase the value in farming.
Right.
To attract younger folks into farming, maybe.
All right. So how do you create a bioplastic exactly? What's involved?
It involves extraction. We extract the high-valued chemicals from this agro-bio-based. And then we alongside with biopolymers, developed a formulation. In this case, we have developed a formulation that we have pelletized it and then tried it. But to say the proof of concept has been done. And we've made out to blown it into a foam, which can be used as a carrier bag.
Okay. Okay, so I presume that there's bioplastics research going on all around the world. What is it that's specifically unique to what the CSIR is doing here?
What is happening is there are a lot of bioplastics that have been researched and manufactured. A common one is polylactic acid. But the problem with these bioplastics is that their properties, some of them don't meet what the conventional plastics properties are. When we talk about this PLA that I've given an example, it's very brittle and blowing it into foam is very difficult to do.
All right.
So what we have done is to blend biopolymers with agro-bio products, the chemical that we've started from agro-bio products, to develop a material that meets the properties of the conventional plastics that are used in the thin foam and carrier bag industrial market.
Okay. Now, the plastics that you're developing here are fully biodegradable. But what sort of period are we talking about here? If you buy a product that uses this bioplastic, how long before it biodegrades?
Yeah, we've tested the biodegradability of the product, and what happens is we've tested it in compost, we've tested it in soil, and we've tested it in marine environment, including sludge. And within 3 to 6 months, it will biodegrade without leaving any toxic residues.
Okay. And what can this plastic be used for specifically? I'm imagining, could this be used in shopping bags, for example, which are obviously a huge pollutant? Could it be used for containers for food in supermarkets, or does it have a more specific use?
Yeah, what the applications we are targeting at the moment is the single-use consumer plastic items,
yeah,
like carrier and the food wrappers, agricultural mulch foams, and others.
Okay, so general purpose.
So that is, yeah. That, it says it's a general purpose. It can also be used for rigid packaging.
Yes. Okay, what about straws? Straws is a big issue at the moment, and I see many establishments and even some cities are starting to ban the use of plastic disposable straws. Could they be used for that as well?
Yeah, at the moment, we have not tried extruding it into a straw. Now, what we've tried, our focus was on the thin foam single-use applications because that's what is causing a lot of pollution in our environment, the single-use items like your carrier bag, your food wrappings, and others. But we think that it can be extruded into a straw. We still yet to test it.
All right. Okay. So the technology that you've developed here, we look at how plastic is polluting our oceans, for example, and I think we've all seen the horrific photos of miles and miles of plastic junk floating in the oceans. I think in the Pacific Ocean there's a reservoir of this stuff just sitting there, centimeters deep, floating plastic on the surface of the sea. Could this technology be used to solve this problem? And if so, why has it not been deployed already?
The issue is, it is based on this pollution that motivated us. And if I should say something, that an article that I read in the Herald, I'm based in Port Elizabeth, so I read Herald a lot,
right,
on 19th of March 2018, the article was saying that the rate at which plastic pollution is going on, if this plastic pollution continues in a business as usual, by the year 2050, in terms of weight, there will be more plastics in the ocean than fishes. And obviously, something has to be done
about
it.
Good grief.
Now, when we bring it closer home, in South Africa, about 90% of the thin foam, single-use plastic items ends up in the landfills.
Yes.
Which stays there for many decades. So we need to do something about it. And that is why we decided to undertake this research to get some material that will break down once it finds itself in the landfills or in the ocean or in any of the terrestrial environment. And at the moment, we are liaising with other government entities and private entities to get this product on a produce it on a pilot scale.
Yeah.
And then undertake a market trials also to get it into the market.
Okay, so when are we likely to see that happening?
I will not be able to give you a time now, but if we can get funding now before the end of, let's say, this quarter,
okay,
then we're talking about maybe in a year from now, we'll be able to see it in the shopping in the shopping malls and in the supermarkets for us to package our groceries and others.
Right. So how much of the reusable plastic in the world today could in fact be a biodegradable bioplastic like the type the CSR is working on?
At the moment, the percentage of bioplastic, biodegradable plastic in the world production is about, the last time I checked, it was about 7 million tons from out of 350 million tons of plastic that are produced in the world annually.
Mm-hmm. And what percentage of that?
So it's roughly about 2%.
And what percentage of that could be replaced with biodegradable plastic?
What percentage? No, what is happening is this biodegradable plastic, it's sort of a new area of research or interest that researchers and engineers are busy working. So it's gaining acceptance into the market. And what we are saying is that the biodegradable plastics is now roughly about 2% of plastic production in the world. That
okay.
is the market.
Right.
And we're hoping that it's supposed to grow. And if it is going to grow, I think the rate was about 35%. Then by the year 2020, we'll be having roughly about 14 million tons. That's about 4 to 5% of world plastic production being biodegradable plastics.
I see. So are there any disadvantages to biodegradable plastic? I mean, is it more expensive to produce relative to regular plastics? And are there applications that it can't be used for? I mean, could it be used, for example, for a 2-liter cool drink bottle? Can it contain liquid like that? Is it more porous? Maybe just take us through that.
The biodegradable plastics would be a little expensive because the process of extracting the high-value chemicals.
Yeah.
From the agro biomass is a lot, and that adds up to the cost of this material, the final cost of this material. However, the mass production of this conversion of these materials, it's the same as conventional plastics, because what we have developed works on conventional extruders and injection molders.
Oh yes,
and it's even in this case. The mass production might even be a bit cheaper because energy-wise, it uses a little bit of energy because the temperature profile of the material we've developed is a bit lower than the temperature profile of a similar conventional plastic in the converting process of these materials. Now, that is the downside of it. On the other hand, in the mass production, mass conversion of the bioplastic that we have developed into final products, the price of the mass production will be a bit cheaper because energy-wise, the temperature profile of the bioplastic we've developed is much lower than a similar conventional plastic that you'll be converting into final products when you're doing the mass production.
So commercialization of this product, have you had interest from potential commercial partners at this stage? Have you had any discussions with potential commercial partners? What is the interest you're seeing out there from companies that might want to take this to market?
Yeah, there are most of our retail companies in the country, I don't want to mention names, have shown interest. And even next week, Friday, we'll be having a meeting with one of them. They've all shown interest, waiting for it to be ready to go to the market. Now, what we are, the point at which we are now is to pilot it, to take it to pilot production, because we've done the proof of concept at lab level, and you understand that how you produce materials or you produce things on in the lab might not necessarily be the same as you produce it on an industrial scale. So we're going to take it onto a pilot production, which will be close to an industrial scale, and then from there, the technology will be licensed and transferred to a suitable manufacturer or converter that will take it into the market. But we've had a lot of interest shown in the product.
And what about internationalizing the product? I suppose you want to run these trials first. You're going to work with local retailers and others, I presume. And if that is successful, will you look at internationalizing it after that?
Well, internationalizing it will become the baby of the industrialist that will take it up. Because the CSIR mandate would have ended. Because our mandate is to do research and then develop it into an industrial level for somebody to take it up to benefit society. So once that happens, I think on international level it will gain popularity. Because what we know of is that a lot of countries in the world, including African countries, are banning plastic bags and single-use plastic items as we speak. So if there is a plastic material that will biodegrade when it disposed of into the landfills or into compost, into a compost or marine environment, then I think it will get a lot of international acceptance.
Right. Just out of interest, tell me how the CSIR goes about commercializing innovation like this. Do you sell your patents to an interested partner? Do you retain the patents? Do you even register patents? What's the process involved? Let's say someone is listening to this podcast and is interested in commercializing this technology. What do they need to know from a commercial and legal perspective in terms of taking the innovation and taking it to market?
Yeah, as I said earlier, CSIR is a national entity, and we have over 2,000 to 3,000 employees, and our main office is based in Pretoria. Now we have IP department or units, and we have licensing and venture unit. So once the technology becomes matured, then they take it up and liaise with interested parties.
Yeah.
Of course, this one that we're working on, the IP, we have filed for the IP already in UK, and one that is granted, I think it will be taken to other countries also. So we do file the IP, and then once everything is ready for the technology to be transferred, then our licensing and venture unit take over the arrangement of that, the legal aspect. Remember, we are the technical guys, the science people who do the science, and then they will help us to take it with our R&D office, will take it to the market through potential investors or potential industrialists who will be interested in this.
All right. Well, say, before I let you go, you've won an award, or the CSIR has won an award, the EcoLogic Award from an organization called Enviropedia. Who are they, and what is the award for, and what does it mean for the CSIR?
Yeah, Enviropedia is an organization that are also very conscious about the environment. And we were pleased that we won the award, the Ecological Award, in the category of eco-innovation, which recognizes a new product or service that is financially viable and sustainable, and that serves the needs of mankind while being equally beneficial to the earth and ecosystem. Now, the technology will contribute. Our technology that we have developed will contribute to the reduction of environmental pollution and boost local job creation in the manufacturing sector. Now, as a team, we are very glad and excited, elated that the CSIR research and development work has been recognized on a national platform such as this ecological award. This is an indication that the technology or the work that we do has a potential, or in this case, the technology has a potential to impact on society by helping to reduce the plastic pollution problem.
All right. Osei, the line is starting to fail us again, so I think we'll leave it there. Osei Ofosu is research engineer at the CSIR's Materials Science and Manufacturing Division. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today, and all of the best of luck with piloting and commercializing this innovation.
Thank you also for having us, and we are excited that organizations like yourselves are showing interest in the work that we do, and I think the broadcasting of this type of thing will get the world or the country to know that things like this are taking place for us to leave the environment in a better place for our children or our great-grandchildren. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your time.